Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Thursday class, 5th of March, 2026, 3rd John.
You've been waiting all year for the signing up for work day. I know you have. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 3 John. 3 John. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. First of all, we have an update from the Las Ventanas Senior Living Center. Las Ventanas March 4th report. The Las Ventanas lesson on Wednesday, March 4th, went very well. After the ladies sang, "How Great Thou Art," we listened to Pastor Olson teach our sixth lesson on the 23rd Psalm, continuing his introduction with background on the life of David. Pastor Olson taught from 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 26 through 30, to describe how David visited the Israel army front line and became angered that no one had challenged Goliath. David's older brother, Eliab, who was in the military, burned with anger against him and belittled his position that David was only a shepherd. Eliab accused David of arrogance, when in reality, Eliab was the one who was arrogant. Rather, David had genuine humility. He had the greatest respect for the authority of God and the authority of the Word of God. To God be the glory as he blesses this ministry at Las Ventanas, and your prayers are greatly appreciated. Rich Blair. All right, 3 John, this little tiny epistle, 3 John, loaded. In the first 8 verses, we have the best of the best in Gaius. And then in verses 9 through 11, we have the worst of the worst in Diotrephes. And we have exegeted almost all of the 3 verses, 9 through 11. We're 9 through 11a. So let's get the corrected translation on that. Verse 9. I have written something, a doctrinal letter, to the church, but Diotrephes, the one who loved to be first in authority among them, the congregation, he does not accept our authority, the authority of the Apostle John, or any sound doctrinal teacher. Verse 10, for this reason, if I come, third class condition, maybe I will come, maybe I won't, I will call attention to his deeds, which he is doing, namely, slandering and maligning us with evil words. And because he is not satisfied with these things, that's the arrogance of unhappiness, neither does he himself welcome or recognize the spiritual authority of these brethren, communicators of the Word of God, pastors, missionaries, and evangelists that are coming through, and he prevents and forbids those believers in his own church who desire to do so. And then he expels them from the church. Verse 11, beloved, royal family of God, do not imitate, do not follow what is evil, the plan of Satan, and that's Diotrephes. Do not imitate, do not follow what is evil, the plan of Satan, but follow what is intrinsically good, the plan of God. There's Gaius. Now that's as far as we've gone in our exegesis, but that brought us to a very important doctrine in the Word of God. One of the most important doctrines for you to learn and know inside and out, and that is the doctrine of evil. Now we have taught hamartiology and the doctrines of sin, mental attitude sin, sins of the tongue, overt sins. We've covered sin inside and out. But we've never really covered what the Bible has to say about evil. And the Bible has a lot to say about evil. And so this is a very important doctrine for every one of you to learn, believe, know, and then apply to your own life skillfully and accurately through the filling of the Spirit. Now, we are part way through point four. Point one was definition. And under point one definition, we noted that as a believer in Jesus Christ, you are either going to be influenced by evil or you're going to be influenced by the absolute truth of the Word of God. Evil is the policy of Satan as the ruler of this world. Evil is the MO of Satan from the time of his fall throughout the angelic revolution and continues today as the ruler of planet Earth. Evil is Satan's system by which he administers the rulership of this world. Evil is the function and the thinking of that person who is consistently involved in Satan's cosmic system, made up of two parts, cosmic one, interlocking systems of arrogance, and cosmic two, interlocking systems of hatred. Evil is the downward trend of a nation. This is very important to understand with where we are. As we're the client nation of God, United States of America, but we're in apostasy and degeneracy. And we are in a downward trend. And I know all of you, you see the evil in our nation, day after day after day. So evil is the downward trend of a nation or a society. Evil results in the destruction of a nation, the malfunction of a nation, and an attack on legitimate authority within the nation. Evil is anti-legitimate authority. Evil is anti the laws of divine establishment. Just as grace and truth represent the genius and the policy of God in relationship to the human race, so evil represents the genius and policy of Satan in relationship to the human race. The soul, your soul, is the battleground for every believer. The Bible tells us, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. There are two ways of thinking. Thinking the absolute truth of the Word of God, which glorifies Christ, or thinking evil, which dishonors Christ. Recovery from sin is instantaneous through the use of the doctrine of rebound, 1 John 1:9. But recovery from evil takes time, through consistent and faithful learning and believing the absolute truth of the Word of God, 2 Peter 3:18. Evil is a distortion of the absolute truth of the Word of God. Evil distorts the laws of divine establishment. Evil attacks law enforcement, the police officer, the ICE agent. Evil is what you think as an apostate and a reversionistic believer. So the worst and most detrimental thing that can happen to a believer is to come under the influence of evil. Evil is every deviation and distortion of the absolute truth of the God-breathed Scriptures. That's point one. Definition. Now we also studied point two, biblical documentation. And under point two, biblical documentation, we noted first of all that the spiritually mature believer can distinguish between, and I got to put this up there, they're close. Kalos. K-A-L-O-S, and kakos. See, the only thing difference is right here, see. K-A-K-O-S. Now, kalos means that which is honorable, noble, virtuous. Kakos, well, that's an onomatopoetic word. It sounds like what it is. Kakos. You don't want to be in kakos. Evil. Kakos is evil. And we studied that in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. Evil and degeneracy start with a thought. And we studied that in Matthew 15, 19. Maximum metabolization of Bible doctrine in your heart will insulate your soul from evil. And at the same time, it will motivate you to reject evil and not to be overcome by evil. Virtue love, the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, does not delight in evil, but rejoices with aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. And we saw that in 1 Corinthians 13, 6 through 8. The believer is warned to beware of those who practice evil. Philippians 3, 2 and 3. The believers are specifically warned not to be influenced by evil, but to be influenced by the intrinsic good of the Word of God. And that's our passage, 3 John, verse 11. It is a dangerous temptation and evil for any believer to lust for money. Now, there's nothing, money's not a sin, but to lust for money, that's the key. And to be distracted away from the spiritual life. And Paul teaches that in 1 Timothy 6, verses 10 through 12. And being influenced by evil explains why the prayers of many believers are never answered. Job 35, verses 9 to 13. Believers are often led into the cosmic system and evil by the people they choose to associate with, their friends. And sorry and sad to say, many times this includes family members and being influenced by their communication of evil. And we saw that in 1 Corinthians 15, 33 and 34, and 2 Thessalonians 3, 2 and 3. And we also noted that God protects the spiritually mature believer from evil. He protects the believer who has wisdom. Now in grace perspicacity, that's the target. The target of the Word of God is to get it into your heart. Wisdom. Chokmah in the Hebrew, Sophia in the Greek. That's grace perspicacity. Starts with the spiritual gift of pastor teacher, communicating the Word of God eisegetically, categorically, exegetically. Stage two, God the Holy Spirit takes that communication by the pastor teacher and teaches your human spirit, where it becomes spiritual phenomena and goes on down to the nous, the mind, where now you understand it. You know it. You understand what the Word of God says. But now it's the most critical point in grace perspicacity. Your volition goes in. Now you can either believe it or reject it. If you reject it, it does you no good at all. If you reject it, there's no spiritual growth, there's no spiritual momentum. When you believe it, God the Holy Spirit takes it and puts it in your cardia, your heart. Now, the Word of God in your heart, now you can skillfully and accurately apply that to your life through the filling of the Spirit. The key is getting wisdom, Sophia, Chokmah, wisdom, metabolized doctrine in your heart. And we saw that in Proverbs 2, 10 to 15, Proverbs 12, 20 and 21. The laws of divine establishment are designed to protect the citizens of the nation from evil. And we saw that in Romans chapter 13, verses 3 and 4. Those who practice evil will come under the wrath and the judgment of God. We saw that in Psalm 34, 14 to 16, Isaiah 13, verse 11, Amos 5, 14 and 15. And we saw where the sins of the tongue are a great and vicious evil. To the Lord, they are an abomination to the Lord. 1 Peter 3, 8 through 12, Psalm 34, 12 and 13, Psalm 50, verses 16 to 22. That brought us to point three, protection from evil. And under point three, protection for evil, we noted that the spiritually mature believer is protected from evil. Now, Satan wants you to drop your guard and go negative to the Word of God. But the winner believer's soul is encapsulated by the powerful Word of God. Psalm 21, 11, Psalm 23, verse 4, Proverbs 12, 20 and 21. And there is divine protection from evil for the spiritually mature believer. We saw that in Psalm 97, 10, Proverbs 1, 33, Proverbs 2, 10 to 15, Proverbs 16, 6, Proverbs 19, 23. And the more of the Word of God, the more Bible doctrine you have in your heart, cardia, the more you will love the Lord Jesus Christ, and at the same time, the more you will hate evil. Proverbs 3, verse 7. The consistent and faithful metabolization of the Word of God, fulfilling the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18, is the only insulation from evil, because Bible doctrine in your heart combats evil. Now that brought us to point four. Point four is the principles of evil. And we just got started in that last week. Point four, we have studied the first three subpoints of point four, the principles of evil. First of all, we noted that evil attacks the divine institution of marriage. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ invented the divine institution of marriage. There's nothing wrong with marriage. It's a divine institution. And the Lord Jesus Christ created it the way that you can have maximum happiness and blessing in that divine institution of marriage. But the divine institution of marriage is between one man and one woman. Not between two men, not between two women, not between a man and a goat, or a woman and an animal. Between one man and one woman. Sodom and Gomorrah. Homosexuality and lesbianism is a great and vicious evil. Lot was overpowered and influenced by evil friends and evil family. Evil attacks the divine institution, not only of marriage, but the divine institution of the family as well. For many believers, blood is thicker than the absolute truth of the Word of God. And they are influenced by their evil family members, and the result is they crash and burn. So the second subpoint was evil attacked the divine institution of the family. And third, evil rejects authority. And we saw that in Psalm 50, verses 17 to 20. Rejection of authority in every area of life, legitimate authority, is evil. At your school, rejection of a teacher's authority. In athletics, rejection of a coach's authority. In your job, rejection of management's authority. In the military, rejection of a superior officer's authority. In a family, rejection of parents' authority. In a local church, rejection of the authority of God, His Word, and the pastor, teacher who teaches the Word of God. Now, this is so prevalent today in our nation that you would think Psalm 50, verse 17, was written last week. We see it all throughout our nation. Evil is anti-legitimate authority. All right. Now that brings us to subpoint four, and that's where we'll start this evening. Subpoint four. Reversionists are influenced by evil, not by God or the Word of God. Reversionists are influenced by evil and not by God or by the Word of God. And I want you to turn over first to John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Gospel of John, chapter 3. The Lord Jesus Christ is holding Bible class. I always love that. Getting in on the Lord Jesus Christ Bible class. He always nails it 100%. John 3, verse 19. Jesus Christ is teaching and he says, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world." Who's the light? Jesus Christ is the light. Light has come into the world. The incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. the Lord Jesus Christ. So light, Jesus Christ, has come into the world. But men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Bible class from the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:19. Now turn over to Psalm 36. Psalm 36. And the human author of Psalm 36 is David. Psalm 36, verse 1. An oracle is within my heart concerning the sinfulness of reversionists. Now, the word is wicked, but the only wicked you know is wicked ale, and that's a beer. So this is reversionists. Reversionism. An oracle is within my heart concerning the sinfulness of the reversionist. There is no fear of God. And this is category one fear of God. This is humility. There's no humility. There is no humility before the reversionist's eyes. For in his own eyes he flatters himself too much to detect or hate his own sin. The words of his mouth are evil and deceitful, sins of the tongue. He has ceased to be wise, no wisdom, and to do good, divine good production. Even on his bed he plots evil, conspiracy, reversionism, anti-authority. He commits himself to a sinful course and does not reject what is wrong. Psalm 36, 1 through 4. So reversionists are influenced by evil, not by God and His Word. Evil begins at certain stages of reversionism, specifically from the frantic search for happiness and on. That is, all reversionists are evil, for evil is the thinking of Satan and the propaganda of Satan. So anyone in reversionism is under the influence of Satan and evil. Evil is the result of rejecting the absolute truth of the Word of God. So reversionists are influenced by evil, not by God and His Word. Psalm 36, 1 to 4, John 3, 19. Subpoint 5. Evil rationalizes. And this, we see this day after day in America from liberal socialists, then socialists, they're Marxist socialists, communists, liberals, so full of evil. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, evil rationalizes. Verse 20, start at verse 20. Woe, woe to those who call evil good. We hear that all the time. You see what's going on in the politics and politicians. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Oh, we got a lot of that going in Client Nation USA today. Evil rationalized. So let's take a look at that couple of points, sub point. All right. One, since evil must avoid any guilt reactions, it must rationalize by distorting the conscience and setting up its own evil norms and standards. Since evil must avoid any guilt reactions, it must rationalize by distorting the conscience and setting up its own evil norms and standards. Subpoint two. Consequently, right becomes wrong, and wrong becomes right. Consequently, right becomes wrong, and wrong becomes right. Subpoint three, evil becomes good, and good becomes evil. Evil becomes good, and good becomes evil. Evil rationalizes. Very important, Isaiah 5, 20 and 21. We see it day after day after day. Subpoint six, conspiracy and revolution is evil. Conspiracy and revolution is evil. Turn over to Psalm 64. Psalm 64. Conspiracy and revolution is evil. Psalm 64. We'll start at verse 3. Psalm 64, verse 3. And again, this psalm, the human author is David once again. They sharpened their tongues like swords. And again, sins of the tongue are a vicious evil. They are an abomination to the Lord. They sharpened their tongues like swords and aimed their words like deadly arrows. They shoot from ambush at the innocent man. They shoot at him suddenly without fear. They encourage each other in evil plans, conspiracy, revolution. They encourage each other in evil plans, conspiracy, revolution. They talk about hiding their snares. They say, who will see them? They plot injustice and say, we have devised a perfect plan. Surely the mind and heart of man are cunning. But, verse 7, God will shoot them with his arrows. You don't want to get shot by God's arrows. God will shoot them with his arrows, divine discipline. Suddenly, they will be struck down. He will turn their own tongues against them and bring them to ruin, the sin unto death. All who see them will shake their heads in scorn. Conspiracy and revolution is evil. Psalm 64, verses 3 through 8. Now, I want you to understand, no problem can ever be solved by assassination. No problem can ever be solved by assassination. We are seeing more and more assassination. And there's two types of assassination. There's character assassination, and that's sins of the tongue. Character assassination. And there's physical assassination, and that's murder. And we're seeing more and more of both in our nation today. So no problems can ever be solved by assassination. Not by character assassination, sins of the tongue, not by physical assassination, murder. Point 7. Evil is destructive and culminates in the sin unto death. Evil is destructive and culminates in the sin unto death. Turn over to Proverbs. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24, starting in verse 19. Now, there's a lot of evil men in our nation today. Do not fret because of evil men. Don't worry. Worry is a sin. Worry is totally wrong. You shouldn't be worried about anything. Yes, there are terror cells all over America. They came in under the last administration when the borders were wide open, and they came in to this nation. They're here. Sleeper cells. There's sleeper cells all over America. And they, I'm sure, getting the signal from back in Iran to take out as many people as they can. But here you go. Are you worried about sleeper cells in America? Are you fretting? Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of the reversionist, for the evil man has no future hope. No future hope. And the lamp of the reversionist will be snuffed out. Sin unto death. Snuffed out. All right? So evil is self-destructive and culminates in the sin unto death. Proverbs 24, 19 and 20. Now, David is the human author here. Not the human author in Proverbs 24, but this explains why David lived while Absalom and Saul died the sin unto death. All right, subpoint 8. The reversionist repays the one who shows good to him. Honor, virtue, graciousness, thoughtfulness to him. The reversionist repays the one who shows good to him. He repays him with evil. Turn over to Psalm 35. The reversionist repays the one who shows good to him with evils. Psalm 35. Psalm 35, and notice this, Psalm 35, the human author is David. And so David is the one here talking as a winner believer, spiritually mature believer. Verse 12, they, reversionists, repay me evil for good and leave my soul forlorn. Yet when they were ill, I put on sackcloth and humbled myself with fasting. And he went to prayer. He's praying for these people. Paul's praying for these people as a winner believer, impersonal love for all. I humbled myself with fasting, and when my prayers returned to me unanswered, I went about mourning, as though for my friend or brother. I bowed my head in grief, as though weeping for my own mother. But, verse 15, when I stumbled, they gathered in glee, in happiness. They were happy that I was going through adversity and suffering. But when I stumbled, they gathered in glee. Attackers gathered against me when I was unaware. They slandered me. Evil sins of the tongue. They slandered me without ceasing. Like the ungodly, they maliciously mocked. They gnashed their teeth at me. The reversionist repays the one who shows good to him with evil. Let's get the sub-point one. The evil person tries to build his happiness on someone else's unhappiness. The evil person tries to build his happiness on someone else's unhappiness. Two, evil pays back grace function and virtue love, impersonal love for all, with evil sins of the tongue. Evil pays back grace function and virtue love, impersonal love directed to him with evil sins of the tongue. Subpoint three. When you help someone, when you are gracious and generous and manifest virtue love to someone, and then those people turn around and repay you with evil, it always hurts the soul of the one who was honorable and virtuous and manifested grace orientation and function and virtue love. When you help someone, when you are gracious and generous and manifest virtue love to someone, and then those people turn around and repay you with evil, it always hurts the soul of the one who operated by grace and virtue love. And that's this passage, Psalm 35, 12 to 16. Now you haven't lived until this happens to you. And I'll give you a little update. The faithful pastors in this nation, this happened to them all the time. The faithful pastor teachers who study and teach and communicate the absolute truth of God's Word, they have this happen to them all the time. Subpoint nine, God judges evil. God judges evil. Turn over to Psalm 34. Well, you don't have to turn very far, just maybe a page. Psalm 34, verse 16, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. And then turn over to Isaiah 13:11. Isaiah 13:11. Isaiah 13:11, I will punish the world for its evil, the reversionists for their sin. The Word of God and evil were here before we came into the world. So a principle. You cannot change the absolute truth of God's Word, nor evil, but they can change you. What are you influenced by? What are you influenced by? If you are influenced by the absolute truth of God's Word, you will be changed into a vessel of honor. A vessel of honor. A spiritually mature believer, an invisible hero. However, if you are influenced by evil, you will be changed into a vessel of dishonor, a carnal reversionistic believer, and you will die the sin unto death. Subpoint 10. Historical disaster, and we are on the verge of historical disaster in Client Nation USA. Historical disaster is related to certain cosmic trends based on evil. Historical disaster is related to certain cosmic trends based on evil. Now we're in Isaiah. Go over to Isaiah 47. Isaiah 47. See, I told you, the Bible has a lot to say about evil. It's very, very important that we learn this, believe this, and nail this down. Isaiah 47. Verse 11. Evil will come upon you, and you will not... And you will not understand. You have to give me a little break here. One of the... They got me taking a statin that makes my eyes water. And when my eyes are watering, it's blurry. And I'm looking and it's very blurry. And I'm going, what the hell does that say? Actually, I said, what the heaven does that say? Evil will come upon you and you will not understand its origin. You will not understand its origin. A calamity will fall upon you that you cannot avert with a ransom. A catastrophe you cannot foresee will suddenly come upon you. Isaiah 47, verse 11. So, there are uptrends of history. And there are downtrends of history. Uptrends of history are caused by the evangelization of mankind. The grace gospel proclaimed throughout the land, followed by the communication and reception of the absolute truth of God's Word. That always results in an uptrend. In history, The downtrends of history are caused by a maximum number of people living in Satan's cosmic system under the influence of evil. The downtrends of history are caused by a maximum number of people living in Satan's cosmic system under the influence of evil. And therefore, there are no tragedies in history. We're the product of our own decisions. Remember, evil is the policy of Satan as the ruler of this world. And Satan is the greatest creature genius, using his genius against God led to his fall. His arrogance led to revolution, which led to evil. While evil and sin originated from Satan, man's sin comes from his sin nature. Now, we can be influenced by evil when we turn away from God and His Word. Remember, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Subpoint 11. Good and evil must continue as part of the angelic conflict. Good and evil must continue as a part of the angelic conflict. Good and evil must continue to challenge us, challenge each one of us, as to which way we will use our volition to go. Satan's way or God's way? So good and evil must continue to challenge us. It will continue as a part of the angelic conflict to challenge us as to which way we will use our volition to go. Satan's way or God's way? And evil will not be solved until Satan is removed as the ruler of planet Earth. Point 12. Evil can only be avoided by those who are influenced by the absolute truth of the God-breathed Scriptures. Evil can only be avoided by those who are influenced by the absolute truth of the God-breathed Scriptures. Thirteen. Evil cannot understand life. Evil can look at what's going on in the world or in America and cannot understand it from the divine viewpoint. The believer with influenced by God and His Word, he can. You can see exactly what's going on. But evil cannot understand life. So, in evil, there is no reality. In evil, there is no reality. People who are influenced by evil do not know reality, nor can they deal with reality. And when disaster hits, those influenced by evil are not able to recognize the evil that caused it. When disaster hits, those influenced by evil are not able to recognize the evil that caused it. Subpoint 14. Evil is blind. Blind to the correct interpretation of history. Evil is blind to the correct interpretation of history and does not understand life. And this is because of his reversionism. This is because of scar tissue on the soul. When you have scar tissue on your soul, it's because you've rejected the truth. But what have you done? You've believed the lie. When you reject the truth, you believe the lie. So scar tissue on the soul from rejecting the truth results in believing the lie. Evil is divorced from reality. The believer living in Satan's cosmic system, cosmic one, interlocking systems of arrogance, cosmic two, interlocking systems of hatred, is divorced from reality because he is influenced by evil. However, the spiritually mature believer loves the Lord with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Occupation with Jesus Christ. And he hates evil. The spiritually mature believer loves the Lord with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and he hates evil. Because he is influenced by the eternal and absolute truth of the Word of God. So, I'm so excited because I finished the doctrine of evil tonight. We will start next week and finish the exegesis of verse 11 with our head bowed. Father, we're constantly amazed at your magnificent grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.